Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Tweet Coleman, a former Boeing 727 and 747 pilot with Continental Airlines. She has 22 years working in the FAA and is a published author of Take Your Life Off Autopilot. Tweet received her Doctorate of Aerospace Aviation Education and is currently teaching aviation-related courses and is today's host.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tweet Coleman, and I'm one of the hosts for the Florida Aviation Network. We're live and in the clear this afternoon, and we're at the Central Florida Aerospace Academy in the Aerospace Center of Excellence here at Sun and Fun in beautiful Lakeland, Florida. And I say beautiful because the weather is great, and it's been good all week. So if you haven't been here, be sure to come. And we have with us this afternoon the president of the 99s. We'll learn a little bit about what the 99s is. The president of the 99s, Robin Hadfield, and actually she's from Canada. So that's a unique thing to have a Canadian aviator as our president for the 99s. So it's very, very exciting. So welcome, Robin. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. But I do have to correct it.
Okay.
Because I'm originally from Florida.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I'm from Coral Gables.
Okay.
And we moved up to Canada, and I ended up meeting in an aerobatic competition this very cute young guy.
Okay.
That when I had an engine failure, I was ended up as a judge, and he ended up winning, and I married him. And so we stayed there.
So you married the judge.
No, I married the winner.
You married the winner. The judge married the Well, yeah. Very good. So
well,
have a resident Floridian as our president.
But it is the first time that anybody outside the U.S. has ever been in almost the 100-year history that we have had an outside president.
Okay. Yeah. Very historical. Very historical. And we're going to start with a nice video of the air shows because 99 is known for the wonderful air races that you've had, right?
Yes.
So let's hear. Wow, that looks like fun. You had one of the biggest air shows last year, right?
It was. Well, that's actually a clip from several different air shows. And it's just because many of our members, they're pilots, but yet in their careers, they do a lot of other jobs. And whether they're military, they're mechanics, we cover a whole gamut. So that was just put together as from the different air shows showing some of the members and what the women are doing.
Mm-hmm. I understand like last year is 117 entrants, something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's quite exciting. So
yeah.
99s has been around, you said, almost 100 years, 94, 95?
Yeah, so we started in 1929.
Okay.
And it was the Cleveland Air Races. It was the first time they said you could have a female pilot's just air race. And they went through a lot of arguments because they wanted the women to fly with a mechanic because what if something should happen, that they should have to stop. And they couldn't fly a certain horsepower airplane.
Oh,
so three of the women actually had to not fly their plane, like Louise Thaden, and had to borrow airplanes from the manufacturers to fly. And there was threats of sabotage. There was all kinds of things that happened through this air race. And at the end, there's a few different stories. One is that Amelia Earhart gathered them all underneath the bleachers and said, we should organize. Other ones say that a whole group got together. But she was one of the main ones, mm-hmm. and said, we're going to set up a organization to help promote women flying and to support one another. And they sent a letter out to every single female pilot in the country, which was 117.
Oh.
But they had only been licensing pilots here. Everybody before had the international license. So they started licensing only about 2 years before. So there was a lot more women flying, but some never converted that license over. So they picked a date in Long Island, where they said, we're going to meet at Curtis Field. And the weather was horrible. Nobody could get in unless they were close by and could drive. And so they said, we're going to organize. This is what we want. They had a little tea cart in the middle of a hangar. If you can imagine going into, you know, Curtis Aircraft and in this hangar with the noise going on, and they're all dressed up in their dresses and a little tea cart. And they formed an organization, said, what are we going to call it? We should be the Gadflies, the Flying Housewives. They came up with all these ridiculous names. And that's when Amelia said, well, why don't we call it by the number of charter members? So they waited to see, you couldn't get here, do you want to join? And in the end, they had 99 women out of the 117 across the whole country saying, we want to start this organization. And then Amelia was elected as the first president. And it's just taken off ever since then.
Wow, that's exciting. Yeah. How many members do you have today?
Just over 7,000.
Okay.
So our goal is, we have a new slogan, and it's 10,000 by 100.
Okay.
So by the time we hit 100 years of age, which will be in just a few years, we want to be at 10,000 members.
I see. So it was six, seven years.
Well, yeah,
that sounds very doable, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
So what is one of the main projects you have for recruitment?
Basically, actually, our main thing is coming out into the communities and doing the outreach programs. Trade shows is a very big deal. Coming out here and people getting to see us, see the name, a lot of parents, a lot of fathers, obviously, that are flying more than the mothers, going home. And a lot here are saying, I'm collecting information for my daughter. But it's getting into the communities, getting into flight schools. They learn who we are and what it's like to join a association of just women pilots.
Do you have to have your pilot certificate, or can you be a student pilot?
You can be a student pilot. So as long as you are a student pilot, as long as you affiliate that you're a female and have ID showing that you're female, you can be a member.
Okay. And I understand you have associate members as well.
Yeah, we have Friends of the 99s. So a lot of people have said, well, I'm a guy and I'd like to join, or I want to be able to support you, and businesses that want to support us. So they become Friends of the 99s, and they get the magazine. They have everything that we do. Other, they get a ball cap. I don't get a ball cap when we join. But obviously, they can't vote or sit on the board or do anything like that. But yes, we have Friends of the 99.
So we had Boy Scouts, and then the girls now can join Boy Scouts, right?
Right.
Is there any thought about bringing boys in or males in to the...
No.
No.
No, because it's against what the charter and the mandate is. Mm-hmm. So they can come in as Friends of the 99s, but they cannot come in as 99s.
Mm-hmm. I had an interesting session last night. I'm sure you're familiar with the QBs, the Quiet Burden.
Yeah.
Yeah, all men. Well, apparently, they do have a spot here. And so I was, the very first time, was able to go into the Quiet Birdsman. And actually, our director, O.B. Young, was sitting there proudly. And there were a few women. So they actually have their own group, and they're definitely maintaining it as an all-male pilot group.
Yeah. We have had, because we go out into some of the universities and colleges, and they cannot have a chapter that's recognized by the school, because we are just female. So you have to be inclusive to actually be sanctioned by the school. Mm-hmm. So they have set up 99, that they become like a wing of another chapter. Okay. So that the girls in the school can still get together and be able to work and talk about issues that they're coming across that are unique to the women that are flying. And then they're dealing with another chapter to be able to do that.
Oh, it's always a way. There's always a workaround, right?
Yeah.
If you really want to do something. Now, I understand it's international. So where are some of the chapters outside of the U.S.?
Well, there's obviously Canada, mm-hmm. and Canada was the first place they came back in the 50s when they decided to expand. They came out into East Canada, Ottawa.
It's right there, right?
Yeah, so we have East Canada, West Canada section. So we're built that we have chapters, and that's in your local area, mm-hmm. and then those chapters are part of a section. So say in Florida, you have multiple chapters across the state, and then you're part of the Southeast section, mm-hmm. which would take in Georgia, Louisiana, Alabama. So you take in a larger, broader area, and then you have international. So across the world, we have like an Arabian section, an African section. We have Germany, France, England, Australia, New Zealand, Nepal. So the whole country is actually a section instead of having individual chapters. Okay. Chapters are kind of unique to Canada and the U.S.
Do you find that the enrollment is increasing outside the U.S.? Or?
It is.
It seems like.
Yeah, absolutely. It was over 100 we had at one point within the Arabian section. And I think a lot of that was because the expats went over there to fly when the industry was smaller and just growing. Mm. And now they have their own people within their own countries that are flying. So there's fewer expats. The numbers have gone down a little bit as they've come back to the States and are now flying with carriers here. But they don't have general aviation the same way we do. So the numbers will never be as large. Mm-hmm. A lot of those countries outside of Northern Europe, like France, England, they've obviously always had aviation. I mean, even before we did. But in some of the other countries, they just don't have it. You can't find a little local airport that has a flying school that you can say, I want to go fly. And those are the girls that really come to us mm-hmm. and look for help and say, what can you do? And we have the scholarships that help them. And we adapt the scholarships to work with them. So our scholarships at first were not really friendly for the people that lived in the Arabian section or African or Nepal. So we adapt and we change them.
Oh, good, good. Now, I understand when you talk about scholarships, you have a special program, the PPLI?
We do.
The professional program? Could you
talk
a little bit
about it? Yeah, the Professional Pilot Leadership Initiative. It's not a scholarship, and we should talk about the scholarships after, because that's even more exciting.
Okay, so they're two different things.
Yeah, so the Professional Pilot Leadership Initiative was started by one of our members years ago who was just retired from the airlines. And it's probably the only highly structured mentoring type of leadership program that exists right now, that you apply. It's not a normal mentorship where you're a pilot, I'm a student, and I'm going to call you and say, gee, I'm having this problem, what do I do? This is where you're assigned a leader, a captain, and every month you have different tasks that you're given and different things that you have to, projects that you're working on. And then at the end of this, it's a 12 to, it actually can go 18 months. You then become the captain and are teaching this program. So we have intakes twice a year. It's limited as to the spots to get in, but it really is one of the most recognized of these type of mentorship programs for leadership ability that's out there. You can be living over in Germany because it's all done through Google Groups or Zoom. It doesn't matter where you live. You can still be part of the program. You must have a commercial license to even apply.
A commercial license.
You have to have the commercial license. You don't have to be looking to go to airline, although today most are. You could just be wanting to taking it for leadership skill because you want to get into another career, perhaps within aviation, outside, and you recognize that this is giving you a leadership ability. The commuters and the airlines are recognizing the program because they're going, this is the type of skill we want in our future pilots in the left seat. Mm-hmm. It's basically a really great CRM. You're learning cockpit resource management before you even get there.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's an excellent program. I know I was on a board for one of the airlines and selecting pilots that came in. They said, we want to think of them as hiring somebody as a manager because you're a captain, you're slash a manager of the flight crew and all. So this would dovetail very nicely in the yes. holistic approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. About how many pilots do you have in the program?
They bring in about 80 throughout the year because, again, it's one-on-one. It goes 18 months. So because they stagger it, they can be rotating. And it will depend. It's not a set number because it depends how many are there to act
to help
at that top level.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, that's good. I hope you have more growth than that. We definitely need that
Thank
type.
You.
Now, you mentioned, yes, it's not a scholarship program. It's a leadership program as such. So share with us about your scholarship programs.
Yeah, so the scholarship program actually started also back in the 50s. And it's one of the only ones that it is for members. The first one we have is the Amelia Earhart Scholarship Foundation, and that is the most robust scholarship program out there. It's funded strictly by the 99s, so that's why you have to be a member. We have a First Wings program that is $6,000 to go towards your PPLI, to the PPL. And then if you've been a member for a year, you can apply for the other scholarships, whether it's for your commercial or an instrument,
nice.
You can get a type rating on like a 737, and it pays the full shot. So that's why we ask for at least a year. And because it's funded by the 99s, by the members, that if we're paying for your multi or for a 737 rating, then we want to see that there's been some commitment and that it's going to be going to somebody who really is going to use it. The First Wings program, as long as you're a student pilot and you have 5 hours and you've been a member for 3 months, you can apply. Used to be open, but we found a lot of people come in after 3 or 4 hours. They go, I don't really want to do this. I'm not enjoying it. And it's not that we've given them the money, but it's that we've committed this and it could have gone to this person. So now we ask for 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And then all the chapters and sections also have scholarships. And those are usually open to anybody in a larger area. Some of them are specific for ratings. I fund one with another woman that got into flying as a second career. And so it's a new track. So it's for girls that perhaps were doing other careers or took other degrees,
yeah,
went for a flight and said, oh, this is what I want to do. So we give a scholarship for that.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. So if you had to put a dollar amount on all of the scholarships annually, what approximately how much do you give in scholarships if you?
Annually, it would vary, but probably about $800,000.
Okay. And it's just for pilots. You don't know other areas in aviation, just for pilot scholarship.
Well, we have within the Amelia Earhart Scholarship Foundation, we do have a research.
Oh, you do?
Yes. Well, that's actually a large one. And that will fund up to, I believe, they may have reduced it. It was up to 35. I think it may be up to
$25,000. Oh, nice.
And we have, one of my members got it. She was a doctor and was doing research on high altitude conditions on pilots. We have a member who just did one on the ATWAR, which is what the Powder Puff Derby became after the war when the races started back up. That's what it got called. Before then, it got changed to the Air Race Classic. So she just did a whole history. We had scholarships that have gone to women who are writing books. So it's not just scholarships for flying.
Interesting. So I know in the U.S. we have, I call it a sinkhole, really, for any type of aviation job. Is that true in Canada? We have about 2 minutes left. So is that true in Canada as well?
As a sinkhole?
Yeah.
In which way?
You need, well, they're recruiting. pilots, mechanics, you know, flight attendants. That's what that's a sinkhole. Well, Florida, we're used to sinkholes.
Well, they talk about the pilot shortage, but I mean, the major carriers, they're not having a problem. And even the, you know, the next tier of commuter doesn't really have a problem. But it's at the lower level where they're having an issue. There, a member came by today, she has 1,000 hours with her ATP, and an airline offered her a job to go right into the left seat. She hasn't flown in 12 years. She said, I will come in if you hire me to go into the right seat. And they said, no, we want you left seat. She goes, and I'm going, I don't want to get on that plane. But it's, there's a whole other issue and gets into political stuff about the schools and where their students are coming from and the lack of seats.
Right.
For local students, and you don't want to get there with me. Because,
but, no, since we only have 1 minute left, I guess not. What would you like to tell our viewers at home? We have about a minute left.
I would say that you should consider aviation if you're a female, that just like any other job, there's a lot of hurdles you have to go over, and to do your homework. Look at where you want to end up and then work backwards. And get into something like the 99s that can help you and that have other women that are there working with you to get to where you want to be.
Great. That's a great ending. Thank you, Robin, very much. It's always important to have a support group, and definitely the 99s would be a great support group. I know many women have help through the 99, so thank you so much. Well, my name is Tweet Coleman. I'm one of the hosts with the Florida Aviation Network. Thank you for listening, and until we tweet again, safety first. Right, Robin? Safety.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.